Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
I asked Joe a moment ago about consumer spending because our next conversation looks at exactly that. The South African consumers, you and I, when it comes to our shopping trends, our financial behavior, we're actually showing signs of a financial recovery. That's on the back of the easing inflation and, of course, cut in interest rates. This is according to Experian's third quarter consumer default index. To tell us more, we join on the line by Jaco van Jaarsveld, Head of Commercial Strategy and Innovation at Experian. Jaco, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me again.
For the first time in a long while, Jaco, it sounds like you have some good news to share. Help us unpack the data here.
Yes, we actually started seeing the previous quarter a slowdown in the deterioration from an Experian Consumer Default Index, which measures the rate of first payment default of consumers on their credit accounts. And what's been positive in the last quarter is that we've actually seen it improve on a year-on-year and a quarter-on-quarter basis. So it looks like the slowdown in credit supply, the stricter lending criteria, along with an easing in the interest rates, as we've seen now with a 50 basis point cut over the last two cuts, and then stabilization of the inflation rate at the lower side of the inflation band, is starting to pay dividends in terms of consumers' ability to manage their finances better, which is a good story.
Definitely. And I think this is so refreshing to hear that we actually are shifting our behavior, essentially. So does this mean that we as consumers have become a little bit more disciplined when it comes to access to credit, but managing it more effectively too?
I think it's actually twofold. Number one, the supply of credit from a credit provider perspective has not increased yet. And the implication thereof is that we still at the highest demand, at levels with the highest demand for credit in many years, even before COVID. I mean, we're at the highest levels in history from a demand of credit perspective, and the supply has remained very low and stable. So, number one, I don't think there's a free supply of credit yet into the market, as credit providers, I think they're waiting for the low interest rate environment and further cuts to actually start converting into improved financial performance. And then from a consumer perspective, I think consumers have reached a point now where they realize that access to new facilities is very difficult to come by, and it's better to pay existing facilities down now as it becomes easy, as they have a bit of extra cash available. So I think it's both. It's responsible financial management from consumers' perspective are definitely coming to the fore. Mm. But also, we've not returned to the level of supply from a credit provision perspective, and we haven't seen any uptick whatsoever.
Got you. I think that's refreshing. And I do think we typically see this in how many banks or financial services companies have also approached perhaps extending periods of repayment versus just offering us more credit. And I say this specifically when I think of the likes of West Bank extending the vehicle payment to, I think, 92 months now, if I'm not mistaken, as an example. And maybe with that, we can lead to the vehicle loan index. I think this one's really interesting because if we take a look at home loans, vehicles and credit cards, that's where we typically monitor and see the behavior that we have as consumers. 2020, July and August, sure, was probably the part where we pressed the panic button, where we saw a significant number of defaults, and rightfully so, given that we were in the throes of the pandemic. When we look at the trend since then, what movements or key highlights do we need to consider?
Yeah, and I think the important thing there is that there was a time frame in the late 2007, 2008, where banks, during that financial crisis, there was an approach by banks to apply historic policies around repossessions and then trying to sell the properties and cars on auction. And what happened during that financial crisis is that a lot of these repossessed properties and vehicles ended up being sold for significantly less than market value, simply due to the over repossession of these properties, which was not good for the banks. And it was almost what's happening now is more an approach with consumers, where banks would typically go and say, I'd rather have the consumer in the house or in the car and negotiate the reduced installment and have to sit with a repossessed house or a car that's going to be sold for significantly less than the value that's still outstanding on the car. So I think One of the most important things is the banks learned from the 2007-2008 crisis to not make the same mistakes again. But also, I think the tighter lending criteria and the ability for banks to more effectively manage this lending criteria with the knowledge of what happened in the past is also positive. Consumers, on the other hand, they're under distress. The fact of the matter is that if you look at home loans and vehicle finance, of the roughly 2.3 trillion rand of credit outstanding in the market, about 1.8 trillion is home loans and vehicle finance. And that sits in the hands of 12% of the total credit active population. So 12% of the market controls 1.8 trillion rand of roughly 80% of the outstanding debt.
Yep.
And that's where the financial distress is coming from, that small portion of the market that have access to these secure lending products are the most distressed in the market. And what's positive from this last reading is that those segments, your luxury living and aspirational achievers, financial affluence segments, are the two segments that for the first time in the last 24 months are actually showing an improving CDI.
I see what you mean. This is quite significant because this number that you mentioned, 12% of those who actually have access to credit controlling 1.8 trillion rand in outstanding payments, I guess this further highlights and emphasizes the fact that it's largely the middle class who are under immense pressure and typically then see these defaults on their credit. I'm keen to understand, Nyako, if we, I guess, cast our eyes out to the future and assume and make assumptions around what would likely happen in the first quarter of the year. Given that we do see lower interest rates and inflation easing slightly, could this influence, again, our financial behavior and reduce the level of defaults?
I think it will. I think it will. And I think the fact that the banks are a bit more conservative and the lenders, whether it's bank retailers, are a bit more conservative in being more aggressive in terms of credit granting, that they're holding back on the granting and waiting for portfolios to improve and waiting for people to get into a better financial situation on the back of lower interest rates. I believe that conservative approach will continue. And as a result, we'll see a steady improvement in the financial or in the CDI. So what that suggests is that we'll see fewer people default for the first time and thus more money being used to manage finances and manage financial positions. One of the interesting things that we are tracking, though, there's two things we're tracking. Number one, we're looking at the two-pot system from a retirement access of funds perspective, and we're looking over the, we'll be very closely monitoring over the next few months to see if some of those withdrawals from retirement facilities are actually being used to reduce outstanding debt, especially on secured lending products such as home loans and vehicle finance. So does that money get allocated to effectively managing finances? Or conversely, are we seeing a bit of consumerism come through where this money is used to rather spend on luxuries and necessities? Now, the jury is still out in terms of where is this money going. When one looks at the amount of money that was spent over Black Friday weekend that was released this morning by Capitec, it is a bit concerning because it looks like the growth rates that's seen on Capitec accounts and specifically on goods and services looks a bit like a consumerism drive as opposed to the management of finances. But as I said, it's a bit early. We're keeping a close eye, and hopefully in first quarter next year we'll be in a position to see whether that money has been allocated and used to manage outstanding debt as opposed to just spend some money and try and feel good while times are tough.
Yeah, definitely. You're right. It will be interesting to see where we are allocating the additional funds to. Yaku, to close off with, you also take care of a very interesting pillar of the business at Experience, being commercial strategy as well as innovation. I'm keen to understand from an innovation point of view and even our behavior as South African consumers when it comes to monitoring our credit scores and our financial behavior. Are we seeing a heightened level of use where we, you know, take a look at our credit scores, we monitor them more in detail and actually have a more open and robust relationship with credit providers?
Yes, and it's actually quite interesting. When we look at, we launched our consumer app, which is a progressive web app called Up, about 2 years ago. And the target market was specifically the youth and the credit excluded, but specifically focusing on the millennials, Gen Ys, and Gen Zs. Mm-hmm. And what we've noticed is there's a far more open relationship with credit and managing your financial situation with the youth than there is with a more mature population like myself. However, we've seen a big number of people in the more affluent and the older population also accessing the app, which also resulted in the engagement with the app, specifically looking at the number of times the frequency of which the consumers access their credit scores and their credit reports via the app has increased from once every 4 months to once every 2 months. So there's a heightened engagement from consumers understanding now and understanding better in terms of how important it is to manage your financial, your finances, which translates into a stronger credit score, but by also being in control of your credit report. Now, it's your data, it's your and my data, we own it. We have the right to go and have it fixed if it's incorrect. And the better we manage it, the better our scores, the more we get access to credit or any financial services product. So the very, very exciting thing that we've seen is a significant increase and continuous increase in downloads or registrations on our app and the access to these to credit reports and credit scores as financial education, especially in the millennials, Gen Ys and Gen Zs, the data generation, they're very open and more comfortable in their skins when it comes to this type of thing. So very positive. And that, in light of that, I think the future generations are more in touch of and responsible for financial wellness, and they're not afraid of taking it head on. They're not afraid of data and using data from an alternative data perspective constructively, and that is very positive for the future.
Sure. Well done to you and the team, right? Helping us get our heads out of the sand like an ostrich instead of hiding from credit providers, actually making sure that we understand our behavior and we reach out to them to say, hold on, I just might not be able to afford this. Let me extend the period. Let me find an alternative solution. Thank you again for your time, Yaku.
It's a pleasure. Thanks again for having me.
Anytime. Really appreciate it. That's Yaku van Jaarsveld, who is the head of commercial strategy and innovation at Experian.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.